You're listening to Vatican Radio. Nearly 18 months into his pontificate, Pope Francis has shown sanctity and social justice to be at the heart of his message to the Church and to the world. At his first canonization mass, the Pope broke the record for the most saints canonized by a single pontiff, and later gave the world two new saints at the historic canonizations of John XXIII and John Paul II. He has also expressed a deep tenderness for the marginalized. The Pope's recent trip to South Korea wedded these themes of justice and sanctity in his plea for peace and reconciliation between North Korea and South Korea, and in the beatification of 124 Korean martyrs. Wishing to highlight the connection between sanctity and social justice, Brandon Vogt explores the lives of 14 saints and how they lived the social doctrine of the Church in his book Saints and Social Justice, A Guide to Changing the World.
Anytime I use the phrase social justice or economic justice or even Catholic social teaching, I'm met a lot of times with great alarm. These words have a lot of baggage with them, especially in the Western world, because for years they've been distorted and hijacked and misrepresented by people for all sorts of purposes. And so in the book, I wanted to reclaim many of these terms and principles and do so through an authentic presentation of what the Church teaches. And to carry out that mission, I decided to use the lives of the saints. And so why not turn to them as well for understanding the social teachings of the Church? What I consider to be an authentic interpretation of things like social justice, which examining the lives of the saints, I take to mean simply creating a society that is good. That needs to be contextualized in every place and at every time. But the saints show us that ultimately, the just society is one where people and organizations and governments are in right relationship with each other. And again, it's a place where it's easy to be good. It's a good society. So I think that's a nice starting point, but then the saints themselves flesh out the details.
How does that social doctrine of the Church that you say needs to be contextualized add to the discussion of American issues that are quite hot right now, such as religious liberty?
I think it's hugely important. For Catholics, the social teachings of the Church should shape all of our political conversations. Religion is intensely personal, but never private. It has a public and political dimension that affects all of public life. On the issue of religious liberty in particular, we find in Catholic social teaching the fundamental theme of the life and dignity of the human person. So this is where religious liberty ties in. Every person was created and the likeness and image of God, and therefore is imbued with inestimable dignity. And that dignity leads to the realization that everybody should be free to choose and practice the religion of their choice and pursue the truth along their own path. And that pursuit should not be compromised. It shouldn't be manipulated. And certainly, it shouldn't be coerced by government intervention. And so in my country, in America, we're going through a very difficult period in which the government is forcing many individual Catholics and Catholic organizations to violate their consciences by paying for and providing objectionable materials like abortifacients and contraception and sterilization procedures. And so they're, in essence, forcing us Catholics to choose between obeying the government and avoiding extensive penalties or carrying out the public ramifications of our deeply held beliefs. The bishops of our country have long held up, and I think rightfully so, the two great English saints, St. Thomas More and St. John Fisher. And these two saints, of course, followed their consciences even when they faced disastrous consequences. You know, Thomas More ultimately lost his life because he could not stand to assent to the King of England as the leader of the Church. So even though we might not be facing such a dramatic demand in America, we can find some parallels there, and we can look to saints like Thomas More and St. John Fisher for inspiration, both in the realm of courage, but also in the realm of religious liberty. We're facing this very dark period, I think, in the Western world, which has been instantiated through practices like abortion and euthanasia, and Pope Francis has pointed out quite eloquently the dismissal of elderly people, and all of these can be traced back to forgetting or ignoring this principle of the life and dignity of the human person. So I think that's the core that we need to get back to, and that the Church really needs to press home to all of their faithful.
What are some of the saints in researching for your book that surprised you the most?
Perhaps the most interesting was the deep connection that every single one of these saints exhibited between the spiritual works of mercy and the corporal works of mercy. So all of these saints understood that it's not enough just to provide food and water and shelter and health care and a lot of these physical material helps. They knew that you must also feed the soul. And so many of these, for instance, provided extremely rich spiritual guidance. They were men and women of deep prayer. Most of them were committed either to daily adoration of the Eucharist or praying the rosary on a regular basis. And so in the saints, you see this tight connection between the sort of activism, the public expression of the faith, and the more personal spiritual practices as well. And I think the saints would agree that those two things flow into and from each other, that they build each other up. The more we pray, the more that we meet the Lord in the sacraments and at the altar, the better we'll be able to encounter him in the streets and serve him there.